Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I just want to share just a couple of things about myself, just so that you know who I am. I have four grown-up children. The fourth is getting married in January. If I look a little shell-shocked whenever you meet me, it's because this will be the fourth wedding in 4.5 years in our family. And we're sort of got to make sure this fourth one feels very special as well. We're getting a little tired, but don't tell her that. Don't tell that. We went shopping yesterday for her bridal shower, a little outfit, and made her feel very, very special. But I had a little stint for a while at working in our family business, and I thought, I'm just going to give it a go. I thought of myself often, I could do the business thing. I could be a businesswoman. My dad was a businessman, so I sort of grew up with that culture. He ran quite a large business. I thought, I'll just give it a go. I lasted 6 months. 6 months. I don't know whether actually Peter sacked me or I resigned, but we would go out to visit clients all the time. And I don't think it was a very productive time for our business because I was always making him stop for coffees at cafes and lunch at cafes. I had a ball, but not a lot got done in the business, so I did get the sack, or I resigned, I prefer to say. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for all of this morning, for the way that we can worship you and honour you, Lord God. And I just pray this morning as I bring the word of God that through my humanity, Lord God, that your glory would shine. I just want to thank you, Lord, that all glory goes to you. People's lives will be changed and we walk out here differently today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get straight into a scripture. We're going to pop it up on the screen for those who haven't brought their Bibles. If you have brought your Bibles, open it up so you can see it, mark it, whatever you want to do. Although I do know some people don't like to mark their Bibles. Don't look at mine ever. So let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And I'm reading out of the NIV. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, gold, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith and resurrection of your souls. The title of my message this morning is, Are You Claiming Your Inheritance? Peter and I are at that stage in life where a lot of our friends are in the middle of making sure their wills are in place and they're also receiving inheritances. You know, our parents are in their late 80s. One is turning 90 at the end of this year. We've still got four parents. Isn't that amazing? But it's very much a thread through everything now when we're dealing with our parents. They're talking about what will happen when one of them goes, and that's just a reality in life. They're very, very open now, amazingly, all four of them, about what will take place when they're both gone and what will it mean for the rest of us. But we've also seen some crazy things happen in other people's lives, other people's stories. We've seen claiming disputes over wills. We have an extended family member that's been in a court case or in a court dealing or a lawyer type of situation for 3 years over an inheritance. It has actually consumed her life. And unfortunately, we are sort of tied up in just giving some wisdom and helping and just encourage her. We've seen wills, people being quite fickle with their wills. You know, this kid is not really being nice to me at the moment, so I'm actually going to give less to that one. And they change their wills. And not our parents. Our parents wouldn't dare do that. Oh, gosh, I hope they wouldn't. Not that we're after their inheritance, but our parents are not like that. We've seen people playing their kids off against each other. And you may have experienced some of these things as well or know of it. I've also sadly seen some people who go about their life, like us, ordering their life so that they will not miss out on the earthly inheritance coming to them. And sometimes families just simply avoid discussing it at all. Yet rarely in life, it does happen, but rarely do we see people turning down their inheritance, declining it, ignoring it, overlooking it. In actual fact, many would do anything to ensure that the inheritance comes their way that is owed them. It's amazing what comes out at that last moment. For example, who has ever watched The Bachelor? Okay, no, not The Bachelor on telly. I mean the video of The Bachelor, the video. We keep it for good old time's sake and we drag it out sometimes. But it always makes us laugh. Whenever I think of inheritances, a funny story on earth, I think of this story of Chris O'Donnell and Renee Zellweger. And Chris O'Donnell plays Jimmy and he is owed, well his grandfather dies and he has been willed $100 million. Now that's US money, of course, because this is an American movie. But there is a catch. He must marry before his 30th birthday, which is in 24 hours. And unfortunately, he's just stuffed up the love of his life, the relationship, because of his type of proposal. It was like he proposed by saying, "You won." Don't ever say that, guys, to the girl. "You won. We better get married." But Jimmy does everything he can to ensure he does not miss out on that inheritance. He can't get the girl of his dreams back again, so he puts an ad in the paper and then ends up running down a street with hundreds of women in bridal gowns running after him. Of course, it ends well in the end and he does get his inheritance. But so much time and detail is given to claiming our inheritance, putting our wills into place on earth, but how much thought and attention are we giving to our eternal inheritance? Some of you here may be finding yourselves in the thick of will making right now, or even claiming an inheritance, sadly because someone has passed away in your life. But for some here today, an eternal inheritance is actually a new thought. You've never had that thought before. But God makes no secret of our spiritual inheritance. He doesn't play games or tricks like some people do on earth with their inheritance and their wills. He doesn't promise one thing and deliver another. God is really clear. So who are the beneficiaries of this spiritual inheritance? 1 Peter 1:3, the first verse we looked at, tells us that everyone who has been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a beneficiary. Did I say everyone? Yes, I did. I said everyone. Every human being, that is, who has salvation through relationship with Jesus Christ. We find our inheritance in Christ. Pastor Luke gave a fantastic message in communion today that touched on that. Absolutely, in Christ. This inheritance is eternal. It is not earthly. It is not subject to decay. and it is divinely kept for you and I by God's power and by our own faith in what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has done all the heavy lifting. We actually don't have to do anything to get it. It is actually a gift. It is a gift. But we are asked to stay faithful to him because it is through faith. So what is our spiritual inheritance? It's a long passage in Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 14. Write that down if you're taking notes and have a look at it. Have a good look at that later on. It is every spiritual blessing, this spiritual inheritance, that belongs to and comes from the heavenly realm, from the kingdom of God. And Pastor Raph is going to be talking more about the kingdom of God, and we'll find out more about that. So it's every spiritual blessing. That is ours. But there are three steps to this. It is guaranteed now. We learn to walk in it as we go about our daily life. And our whole life, actually. And then it will be fully revealed in heaven one day for us. We know a little boy called Daniel. He's 12. Beautiful little kid. He's actually in the family of some of our dear friends that were part of our church. They're in their 70s. And they are the grandparents. And this little boy, Daniel, happened to be orphaned. Both his parents died from drug abuse. He was the most insecure little kid. He actually did not know who he was. He didn't know who he belonged to. He didn't belong to anyone, actually, for quite a while. And he was lonely. He was confused. He was disturbed in many ways. And this family, our friends' kids, actually, their daughter and son-in-law, adopted this little boy. I think he was about 4 when they adopted him. They did the paperwork. Everything changed at that moment. Legally, anyway. Changed. He was adopted. He was part of their family. He took on their surname. He was one of their children. Every gift and blessing they had in their family now belonged to him. He didn't understand it, though. And he didn't change at first. But gradually over the years, he has learnt to embrace the blessing of being in this family. And it hasn't been immediate. There's still a lot of issues to deal with, and schooling issues, etc., and relationship issues, the way he connects with people, etc., because he was so alone for so long. But he's changing, and he's learning to walk in this new identity. So what are the benefits of our inheritance? So if you go back and read it later on in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, we've got a whole list of benefits that come to us because of our inheritance. We are blessed. We're going to pop them up on the screen one by one. We are blessed because of God's kindness to us. We are holy and blameless in his sight. I don't feel fully holy, do you? Is there anyone here who feels fully holy? And yet I am told in the Word of God that I am holy in his sight. When God the Father looks at me, he sees the holiness of Jesus. And yet I know that I still do things wrong. It's a progress on earth. And yet in his sight, I am classified as holy. Blows my mind still. We are sons and daughters of the King, of the eternal God. Isn't that amazing? We are redeemed. We've been redeemed from slavery. Forgiven of our sins now and always. We are recipients of his grace. We are heirs of eternal life. Yay, thank you. We are set free from sin and death. We are inseparable from God's love always, always. We are marked with the Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside us. We are the body of Christ, the church, not just in this building, when we go as well. Okay, I could talk for 3 days of more things, but this gives you an idea, and that is just from Ephesians 1. At that exact moment, hear me, at that exact moment of salvation, we become in Christ. We are given this inheritance, this eternal inheritance, freely, no strings attached. Child of God, presence of God always, eternal life, co-heirs with Christ, whatever. Pastor Luke actually mentioned it this morning. Whatever belongs to Christ now belongs to us as well. Amazing. Just like young Daniel and his family, everything that belongs to his family now belongs to him. Same thing, just better. more extreme, more amazing. This is not just for super Christians, really good Christians. This is for all of us. It is for all followers of Jesus. Now we have to learn to walk in it. It is a gift. Yet we have to receive it. We have to claim it. We have to take it. And I have discovered this is a lifelong process. A lifelong process. When I was born again, when I came into a relationship with Jesus, when I accepted Jesus, when he came to live inside of me, I was 19 years of age. And this Ephesians verse, this Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, was a truth that I actually grabbed hold of immediately. I know it's a deep truth, but it just overwhelmed me, this scripture. It overwhelmed me. In today's world is a good family, and yet for some reason I still needed to hear this from my eternal Father, that I was part of something bigger, that I was part of his family, that I was his kid. I had such a need in my heart to belong. I don't know why. I think it's just a God-given thing that we're given, so it draws us to the Father. But he filled me. He filled me with everything. And I understood that I had these great blessings given to me. It was like a done deal. I'm a God's kid. I was riding on a high. But life hits us, doesn't it? And we have to go through life. And Jesus doesn't promise us an easy life. He just asks us to remain connected to him, in relationship with him, to walk it out. And we've faced many challenges, as I know all of us here have. And I could feel sometimes that kid's crown, you know, the royal kid's crown sort of slipping at times. You know, at first I'm head held high, walking strong. Oh my goodness. Some people used to say, have you met someone? Because I was single at the time. I go, no, I'm a kid of the king, you know. I'm in love. Oh my goodness. I'd tell everyone who would listen. I felt like even winding down the window at traffic lights and telling them. Oh my goodness. Yeah, but as it went on, that crown would slip at times. And there were occasions when I felt it was about to topple off. Actually, I think it did topple off, and I did pick it up again sometimes after a bit of time. But in that lifelong journey that I'm still on, I'm learning to persevere. I'm learning to stay faithful even when I don't feel like it. But it is a lifelong journey. An eternal inheritance is not just a New Testament idea. This has been in God's story right from the very beginning. But I do want to touch on one area in the Old Testament. Just take a note of this, because these chapters are great to read later on. I'm certainly not going to read you four chapters right now. But if you have a look at Numbers 33 to 36, it gives you a great summary of the journey God took the Israelites on. He took them out of Egypt, through the desert, why they did. And he also gives a great description of that land he was going to give the Israelites as an inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, God leads Moses to the top of Mount Nebo. He took him up there, made him look out over the land, and he showed him the promised land. God is not fickle. He's really clear about what he wants to give his people. He didn't change his mind about their inheritance. They were shown it. They were explained. It was explained to them. They were told about it. They were given precise details of their inheritance. Yet God didn't ask them. Moses didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. But he did ask them not to just simply sit on the side of the Jordan and wait for that inheritance to come to them. He told them, cross the Jordan and take the land. He'd already given it to them, but they still had to go in and take it. Sometimes the Israelites were strong as they went and took the land. They sought the Lord. Sometimes they didn't seek the Lord. Things would go haywire. And they were weak when they didn't seek the Lord. And they didn't always drive out the idols in the land where they were taking the land. There were some exceptions. Caleb, he was one of the original two who got to walk into the promised land. All the rest died in the desert. That's not funny, actually. I shouldn't laugh at that point. The rest died in the desert, but Caleb went into the promised land. And when he was older, he actually went up. He went up to the leader and he said to Joshua, I was promised it. I need my land. And he went in. He was given the land. But then it talks about in Scripture that he had to go in and then take these different cities. These were evil cities as well. Child sacrifices, you name it, going on in these cities. But he claimed his inheritance and he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Whenever we look at the Old Testament, we always have to look through the lens of Jesus. It makes sense when we look through the lens of Jesus. In Luke 24:45, shows us how Jesus walked with his disciples. This is after he was risen from the dead. They didn't yet know who he was because they thought he just died and he hadn't risen again. And when he walked with them on that third day, he opened their minds to the scriptures. And that's what we need to do when we look at the Old Testament. We don't just read it just for the facts. We need to allow Jesus to open our minds to what he's trying to say in the Old Testament. So when we read the Old Testament, the scriptures that I just mentioned before, the Israelites would often find themselves caught up and entangled in the cultures around them, the ones that they were commanded to subdue and overcome, and it limited them. They were to stay close to Jesus and walk with him, but sometimes they didn't. It is so easy to float with the culture of the day. Just like being, has anyone ever been on one of those big tires floating down in a river or the current of the sea? Close your eyes and you really don't know which way you're going, sort of that way, but you go a little bit skewy. We're not asked to do that with the culture of today. It is much harder to swim with good, solid strokes and aim for a point. Much harder. Not impossible. It takes courage and perseverance to choose kingdom culture. Peter and I, when our kids were quite young, they were in primary school and the twins were still in kinder. And we travelled around Australia for 4 months with a camper trailer. It was an amazing, amazing experience. Our kids look back at that time very fondly. I look back and I feel like we're in a little bit of a bubble during that time, but it was a special bubble for a time. And whatever the kids learned, it was because of what we had allowed them to learn. Whatever they heard, it was what we allowed them to hear, although they did see some extraordinary things sometimes in some towns. What they saw was because we had allowed them to see it. What we discussed was not with a whole lot of other voices coming into the discussion. It was what we discussed with them. We dug toilets at night, obviously ready to use. We did a lot of free camping during that time. We lit fires. Actually, we always would light five fires. We lit a main one for our cooking, and the kids would light a little one. I think the national parks must have thought, what is going on with this family? But it was a really amazing time. And Jesus was very much, very much centre of our hearts and our discussions and our prayer times, etc. But we had to come home. We had to come home and re-enter the culture of our society. And I do still vividly remember how distinct that was, how overwhelming it actually was re-entering the world again that we had left for 4 months. And we had to let our kids go. They were the words that I feel like I'm letting my kids go back sometimes into the lion's den. And the peer group pressure it caused me actually great anxiety at the time because it was such a tension for me. I was a stay-at-home mum, so they're the things that you think about all the time. And it was really a difficult time. We wanted our kids still to fit in, though, with the people around them and the school they were at. And it was a good school, but there's still tugs at them, isn't there? And Peter and I didn't always get it right. I can be honest with you, we did not always get it right when it came to the things we were allowing our kids to do. But we always found there was a bit of a cost when it came to us getting things wrong. And if you are like me growing up in a family who don't quite get this pool of culture and the beautiful blessing that comes with the kingdom of God, it can be particularly tough. And you might be living in a family right now where there are pulls from you, even within your own household. And my heart goes out to you because I grew up in a sense like that even when I became a Christian for a few years. But if you are growing up in a family that loves the kingdom of God, can I just remind you, you are blessed. Do not ever take it for granted. You are blessed. And you may not realize it right now, but you really are. Can I ask the band to come up, please? So are you finding yourself at war with the cultures around you? Young, old, doesn't matter. The culture is very strong. It's not exactly God culture, and we have to have a discerning heart. And we have to be strong at times to go against the pull. And do you sometimes feel that you are losing the battle when it comes to living in this culture? And the culture changes. Like the culture has become quite different to when I was young. It always changes. It's fickle. But God's culture does not change. It may look differently, the way it presents itself, because we live in a more modern society, but he does not change. Do you feel driven back, that you have thrown your inheritance away because maybe some decisions you've made, mistakes you've made? There are times when I have struggled with that sometimes. The feeling of unworthiness. Sometimes that can just be overwhelming. And sometimes you feel that there might be too many to be counted, so that you no longer feel like a child of God. Or maybe simply you have forgotten that there is an eternal inheritance for you, that you live just for here and now. But it is not too late. It is never too late. We spent some time in Italy about 5 years ago. We had a period of time in Puglia, which is down in the very heel of Italy. Beautiful spot. But it was quite poor for a long time, and it's not as rich as the other parts of Italy. Very beautiful, though. And we noticed so many abandoned properties around Puglia. It's the same in Sicily. Similar reasons, but different. People were often driven out of places in Sicily. Same with Puglia as well, but often people just abandoned them and went north to try and make some money. They just left their properties behind. So there are these dilapidated properties. But we stayed on one particular one, and they had reclaimed, the kids had come back, still their land, come back and reclaimed that property, the land. And it was nothing short of flourishing. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. They'd done it up. It was like an eco resort. They grew everything. They even grew their grains so that they could make their pasta, grind their grains and make the pasta on the day. It's nothing like it, I can tell you. It was just amazing. But the properties were fruitful. They had reclaimed the land that had been abandoned. Now is the day to take hold of your spiritual inheritance and reclaim it if necessary. The King does not leave us floundering on our own. He came, He died, He rose, He's come to live in us for such a time as this. You are not a forgotten love child of the Royal King. I know there's stories in the media about different royal families, but you are not one of those. King Jesus does not forget about you. He does not forget about me. He knows each of us. So it's time to take up our rightful place. Take up your rightful place as the child of the living God. You are worthy, regardless of how you feel. Regardless of how you feel, that song we sang this morning, Awake My Soul, sometimes we just need to wake our souls up again and remind ourselves of what is going on. We all fall short. We will all have to walk out this life. And we won't see the fullness of our inheritance until we are face to face with Jesus one day. But sometimes we just need to be reminded of the truth again. Can we have that list up again of those benefits, please? I want to have a look at them. Just fix your eyes on them. Have we seen those things so many times that they've actually just become a bit dull for us? Amazing. What is God speaking to you about this morning? Why don't you stand up? Stand up and we'll pray together. Just look at those. Which ones have you forgotten about? Which ones do you feel have been stolen from you? Which ones do you want to walk out with as your truth again today? We are blessed because of God's kindness to us. We are holy and blameless in His sight. We are sons and daughters. We are redeemed. We are forgiven of our sins. We are recipients of God's grace. We are heirs of eternal life. We are set free from sin and death. We are inseparable from God's love. We are marked with the Holy Spirit. That is our deposit guaranteeing our spiritual inheritance. And we are the body of Christ, the church. Let's close our eyes. Lord God, You are so wonderful to us. You came for us. You live inside us. At that moment, You gave us an inheritance that can never perish. It is kept in heaven for us. We thank You that we access it through our faith in You. We pray, Lord God, that we can take hold again of every single truth of our inheritance, every single truth of the blessing that comes from who you are in us. We are in Christ. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. We take hold again of those truths that we've dropped. We take hold of them again and walk with our head held high. We want to thank you, Lord, for who you are in us. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray quietly yourself. Hide what you want to give us. You do not hide it from us. You are so clear. And we pray that we walk out this door with the clarity that you have given us. We don't take it for granted. You are not a fickle God. Thank you, Lord God. This is our inheritance. This is who we are, not because we are great, not because we are just so good at walking this life, but it is because of who you are in us. Just thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.